I'm wondering if you had any questions for one another.
I do, because it's I really liked hearing your reading, and I like the fact that they all, or most of them, had the same title, and in a way it's kind of like one big work. And I realized that, you know, I've always thought about scale in poetry, and I've written very small poems, and I've tried to write longer poems, but it's kind of like the difference between poems and poetry, right? Like, I feel like when you're writing a long poem, it's kind of a big flow. It's a larger flow. It's not that kind of condensed, concise, I don't know, statement or something. Do you feel like that in that work, that this new work that you read from?
Yeah, definitely. I really don't have a handle on what that series is or why it is how it is yet. It's still very much in the process of finding the right, like, I think it is an issue of scale. They're short, there's not a lot of words on each page, and they're separate, but each one has a lot of disjunction within it. So I really have no idea what is happening there. And it is a serial poem, but I am still deciding whether or not it should really just be one really big, uninterrupted thing. I don't know. It's not really an answer.
How did the title arrive?
I don't remember. A lot of the time, I mean, I think there's a page in my notebook that would maybe give me some insight into where the title came from, but I don't really like to go backwards until ever.
But the spelling is very intriguing, because that's like a very particular decision to spell a word differently. Do you have any?
No, I think there are a lot of really interesting possibilities for why I made that decision, but I'm not necessarily the expert on
it's
them.
For the
but
critics.
If you spend some time in the dictionary, I think you'll learn more than I know about it. You know, there are obvious puns going on.
Right.
But I have no idea. Yeah. I have one question also for you.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a selfishly motivated question, which is, as I've started writing these poems, I have fewer and fewer visual images in my writing. And when I get one, I feel like really glad to have been able to squeeze like some image out of the universe. But I was really struck by both the, like, I would like to hear you talk a little bit about the conjunction between the visual and the verbal for you, since you're obviously so steeped in both worlds.
Well, funny you should ask. I'm actually teaching a course in that at this very moment. I'm teaching a course called Poetry as Seeing to Visual Artists. So we're kind of going back to some well-known territory, such as Williams. But I think we'll bring in some other people, maybe not so well-known to them, such as James Schuyler. I mean, Schuyler for me maybe is even above and beyond Williams, because Williams likes to have these exclamations where you really feel William Carlos Williams there doing the seeing. Whereas Schuyler, it's almost, I mean, his verbal pyrotechnics are pretty apparent, but his ability to just look at something seemingly no matter what it is, I mean, wherever he is. Mm-hmm. So that's the thing that attracts me. It's like the mundane experience, somehow the poet is able to give value to that by attention. So that's something that I've tried to follow as a practice, to just look, like give yourself the time, or give myself the time to just wander around for an hour or two and just look at things and try to, and then, you know, yeah, try to make that into something that works as a poem. But at the same time, I feel like another part of your question has to do with visual art per se, and so that's the other kind of looking that I'm also very excited about, and I get a lot of pleasure, but also kind of seemingly information from, although I couldn't really define it necessarily.
There's an artwork on the cover of Jane's book, and there's a story there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a still from one of Guy de Quanté. I never know how to say his name. I've never heard it out loud. De Quanté? De Quanté? I don't know. One of his performance pieces, but he also did the paintings on the back. And in the piece, you can see a different version of it on video. It's this woman who's like a docent, and she's supposed to be explaining the paintings behind her, but her explanation has... it's like a story, you know. It's like, I was going to the store, and then this. And it has nothing, really. It seems to have very little to do with the paintings, and certainly doesn't unlock the code of what those paintings are. So a lot of people think it's me,
yes.
You know.
Yeah. You're standing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There was a hand yeah. back there.
Yeah, I was curious, Vincent, of all the poems that are written or odes for someone or dedicated to someone or with someone in mind, do you think of the person first who wants to write something about or to that person, or are you just writing a poem and all of a sudden that person comes to mind and you attach the person after the poem?
That's a very good question. I feel like a lot of these poems that I call odes, as I said, are really not odes in the traditional sense to somebody or something, but more just like an ode to a moment somehow, like to being somewhere at some time, and then I write an ode to that. But then, of course, there are people who are going through my mind all the time simultaneously, and then somehow that will coalesce, like the moment that I'm in on the street in the cold with a particular thing in front of me, and I'm also thinking about Diane de Prima, and I know that she's from New York, but she lives out here, and I want to communicate that to her, so that it just happens like that spontaneously. So yeah, it'd be like somebody I'm probably thinking about, but I don't think, oh, I want to write an ode to her. No, that I wouldn't do.
Mike is
like, well, I guess I should clarify. It's not that I wouldn't write an ode to somebody. It's just that that's not my usual mode of writing.
Like, I could commission an ode from you?
Well, now you're talking. I've tried to write elegies I read some elegies. They're usually very spontaneous, you know. And they're usually, you know, pretty recently after the person has died. I tried to write something, and I guess I would say I'm still trying because I hasn't been successful, about Robert Creeley, who was somebody who was really important to me. And I had a lot of, you know, thoughts and activities related to him after he died, but haven't been able to really write anything that I feel is that I'm happy with that kind of represents all that.
So, for each of you, I'm curious about where is the poem itself, and each of you for different reasons. Jane, when we got brief glimpses of the words on the page as you turned them, they're very spread out all over the page, very few words on a page. The frequency with which you turned the page and the number of words you said didn't seem to match sometimes. And like you said, you're working on eliminating the visual, the image from your poems. So I'm curious, for you, is the poem more the text on the page? Is it in the reading? Is it the moment of the reading in front of an audience? Where is it for you? And then Vincent, the same question, but for you, I'm thinking about toward the end of Swimming Home, where in the very last poem, the sidewalk poem, you talk about There's a place for poetry. There's a moment for poetry. You believe in poetry, even though others may not believe in poetry. And the way that you're talking about it, something makes it feel like you're not really talking about poetry as we think of it, like what's in all of these books behind you. Mm-hmm. But as much as you're talking about the density of a particular moment in time or something like that. So I wonder if you can say something about what you mean by where the poetry is when you're talking about it that way.
I wish we could like pause and I could have an hour. So the poems, the not very many words per page thing has to do for me with wanting to include in the poem like the difficulty of the poems coming into being, and also to just kind of, I don't want to make very many decisions in the poem, so the page is like an extra way of allowing me to have two things at once or more than two, you know, like extra enjambment. But I think the poem, you know, I have two impulses. One is to go like, you know, kind of cosmological with it or something, and or go like Robert Duncan with it and say the poem is in some like totally other place than what's on the text and in your head and in my voice. It's just a part of what the poem, where, you know, it's approaching the poem that it isn't. And I do think that. But I also have no, I don't know. It, like, that even isn't sufficient. I want even more stuff than that to be where the poem is, you know. I want it also to be in, like, the really unpoetic parts and the, like, the thinking that goes into the, like, failing to become the poem that exists in some, like, grand virtual place. Yeah. And then one other small thing. I feel weird about the poems not having so many words per page because I feel like that's obnoxious and bad to the trees. And then I worry, you know, are they just short because I'm trying to write a book? And I don't mean to be eliminating the visual. It just seems to be happening.
Well, so as I understand your question, it's about the meaning of the word poetry as I use it. And I feel like I'm usually trying to use it pretty concretely, like it's my work that I do as a carpenter of words or something like that. And I'm thinking, it turns out that I refer to it a lot. I mean, that's been noted by people. And I guess that's something I think about. It's kind of like the position of poetry in society. Is something that concerns me because it's kind of like an existential crisis for me all the time because I'll come to a place like this and people will be so enthusiastic about it and I'll meet new poets and it's amazing. Then I go to some other neighborhood and you do what? Like, it's like you're way out on some other, you know, part of the universe. And that's not easy, you know? I think it's kind of like going through my head, but because I have this pride and joy in poetry, it's kind of, that's the crux of where these statements come from. So I just picked this up because I wanted to get the exact wording. I should have it memorized, but it says, they may not think poetry is important, but I know it is important. So that's interesting because I think that's, yeah, what I was talking about is like the them and us. Although I would say that, you know, Judith Malina of the Living Theater always said like, you know, no, it's not, we don't want to just let the Republicans be. We want to go talk to them. We want to convince them. It's like, it's trying to bring them over to poetry. So, but I'm not thinking of poetry in quotes as, you know, like the poetry of existence. I don't know if that was part of your question. There's a hand or two.
Oh, no, you can go first. when I write poetry, I feel like I fall into like certain modes of how this poem is serving, like it's about the sound or the image. So I was wondering if you ever kind of find yourself falling into a certain kind of aspect of poetry, and if you do, how do you find a good balance to make sure that it's not all like coming one way, you know what I'm saying?
Do you want to talk about that?
You go first.
Yeah, well, that's a really good question, and I feel like that's a central question to art in general, whether it's painting, music, any kind of art form, is you know, first you try to get into a mode that works and has something of your individuality, and then you get into that and develop it. But then after a while, at a certain point, whether it's 2 years or 3 years or who knows in time, but you can't keep doing it. Otherwise, you're just going to be that person who does that thing, and it's, you know, that's going to flatten out. So I feel like most artists then either give themselves some arbitrary limitation or some difficulty, or they try, or whatever, they travel to a different place, or they collaborate with somebody where they're not in complete control. I've tried all those things, and they, you know, with varying success, but I feel like, yeah, I definitely have like a series of poems that I kind of can feel when it gets to the end. And then when it gets to the end, I wrote these odes that I was calling September odes, or like when I came back from the summer and I was back in my real life and I was sort of pissed off, but I was like writing, I said, okay, I'm going to write these odes. And then all of a sudden it was October and I said, well, I can't write September odes anymore. And then I wrote something in prose. I mean, it just changed. So I feel like it's your will takes over, like you sort of will yourself to try something, and it's often not successful at first.
I think my experience of it, I get carried away by things. Like I'll get into, it's like a tick or something, like sound, and it gets to be too much, or it gets to be too abstract. But I rely on other people to like tell me the truth about when that's really happening. And then also just hearing it out loud, and like I can tell when you guys are like, I can tell when I'm not engaged even with what's on the page, or when the audience isn't. But for me, it's something that always happens. There has to be distance between the poem and like my judgment of it, or else and then I also just have every time I am doing a series or something like that, I'm convinced that I'll never be able to do anything after that, you know. But that usually it's not true so far.
And maybe one more quick question, because we're running out of time.
Mine's purely for selfish reasons, too. But Jane, I'm wondering about this serializing of your poem. Like, what is your practice? How do you decide what's enough? How do you start in on anything? And do you objectively try to knit it all together, or do you just kind of let it lie?
My practice has changed a lot over the last few years because I've just become a lot busier. I have more stuff to do, more jobs, lots of things. So for me, like the duration of a poem is very much connected to how much time I have to work on it. And, you know, if I didn't have to work, or if I didn't have to worry about using my poems to get a job, I definitely wouldn't be trying to publish a book. Maybe yet at all, you know, and definitely not another one after that one right now. but yeah, so it's really bound up with like how much time I have to sit down and work on it. I don't write very much, you know, so I don't know.
Well, thank you all. Thank you both.